Trust me. Before we participate together in communion, I think it's incredibly important that we take a couple of minutes to reflect on where we are in life. Scripture is pretty clear that we're not supposed to participate in communion if there's something going on in our hearts and our lives that is not right with God. In fact, 1 Corinthians tells us, whoever eats or drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine themselves before he eats of the bread or drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of our Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. We believe in open communion here at Sanctuary, which means you don't have to be a part of Sanctuary, but you need to be a part of the Church of Christ, having accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'm going to ask Pastor Brian just to play that chorus one more time as we take just a few moments to reflect on our hearts this morning before we share together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Father, once again, I thank you and I praise you for the sacrifice you made for me, for each and every one of us, sitting here, sitting at home, wherever we're at, you sacrificed yourself for us. You willingly took that whip in your back. You willingly took that crown of thorns on your head. You willingly allowed those nails to pierce your wrists and your hands, your feet. You allowed that spear to be thrust into your side, and you did it all for each and every one of us. God, thank you for that blood that flowed. Thank you for the power of that blood and how it cleanses our hearts and minds. Lord, renew us again today as we drink together of this cup. In Jesus' name, let's partake together.
You are good. always understand. When we go through the things we do, in spite of the stains we recognize, the knowledge you are good, you're good to us. You have your hand upon us. Lord, we pray for those who are facing surgery this week. We pray for those who had surgery last week, Lord. We pray for a healing touch upon their lives, upon their bodies, from the top of their heads, the bottom of their feet, to the tips of their toes, Lord. We acknowledge you are good, you are a healer. We thank you for your healing touch. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you for what you're going to do, because you're good to us, Lord. You are good. Lord, we come to you this morning and we give our time in the Word to you. Lord, your Word does not return void. Your Word is not hopeless. Your Word goes out with power and authority. Yes. And this morning, Lord, we pray that that Word of yours would penetrate our hearts. Yes. God, we pray that we would be open to receive what you are saying to each of us. Lord, not that we would be thinking about who else should be listening to this, or who else this affects, but God, that we individually would be looking to you and seeking you and understanding how it affects us. God, change our hearts today. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We didn't put a shield up in front of me because I don't think I spit as much as Pastor Brian. And then I made my family sit in the front row, so just in case. Right. They're your first line of defense. Well, again, I do want to welcome you home this morning. It is so good to be back in the sanctuary. You know, it's amazing what looked like it was just going to be a couple of weeks away. And honestly, that's what I thought back in March. I thought, okay, yeah, we'll close the doors for a couple of weeks and this thing will pass by and we'll be back. Well, that's not the case. It's turned into an incredibly, incredibly long wait. 31 weeks, to be exact. 31 weeks is how long it's been since I last stood here to share a message with you. That's an incredible amount of time. And there have been a lot of changes in that time frame. Not just to our building, which has transformed in that time frame, but in our personal way of life, changes have come up. Society around us views things so much differently today than they did several weeks ago. Travel across the world looks so much different today. In fact, mankind's view around the globe has shifted in ways we can't even begin to comprehend sometimes. All because a mutated strain of a virus that has existed for decades came to be. Don't misunderstand me. This is a very serious issue. I'm not making light of the fact that the strain or the virus has been around for a long time. It has indeed caused pain on a global scale. But we simply never could have imagined something like this sweeping the globe the way it has in a relatively short period of time. And think about it for a minute. Less than a year ago, we were concerned about our New Year's resolutions, whether or not we would be able to keep them this time, or if we'd give in at 12:01. We were planning vacations and graduation parties and weddings, and we were looking forward to this beautiful summer. And practically overnight, all of that was taken away from us. Amen. The nation's borders were closed. We weren't allowed to go anywhere. Graduation ceremonies all around the place had been canceled or drastically changed. Weddings had to be postponed, so on and so on. From coast to coast, we were told not to be in groups bigger than 10 people. Let that sink in for a minute, how big of an issue that is. 10 people from coast to coast, we were told that. We've never experienced that kind of infringement on our freedom before.
Amen.
Never have we experienced that. Oh, sure, we've engaged in things in the past. We've had wars to deal with, and we've suffered attacks on our soil, and there's been different things that have heightened our awareness, but never have we dealt with such an uncontrolled issue like this. Not only uncontrolled, but confusing at best. A plague was crippling our world, not just our nation, our world. How would we get through this? How would we get past this? How would we be able to get to the other side and emerge victoriously? Stronger, wiser, better than we were when it began. You know, the greatest generals and the most brilliant scientific minds couldn't answer that question fast enough for us, if at all. Yet here we stand 31 weeks later, and dare I say, declaring victory. Not because it's over. That's not why we're declaring victory. We're declaring victory because we're able to stand here today with renewed vision, with renewed hope, with hope that does not exist in flesh and blood, a hope that does not come from military or scientific achievement. We're here today, despite the pandemic, because of our hope in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Today, we're going to take a few minutes look at some lessons that we can or maybe already have learned through these unprecedented times that we're in. We're going to start with, I know, one of our favorite texts in Scripture, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that we may be mature and complete, not lacking anything.
Amen.
Obviously, I was being a little tongue-in-cheek about our favorite scripture. We don't like this one. Many of us would prefer to just flip over to James and rip that page out. But it's in the Word for a reason. It's there to encourage us. I don't think any one of us would question the fact that COVID-19 has been a trial. In fact, I think it's fair to say that we would likely find trials within that trial, right? Scripture tells us we can have not just joy, but pure joy in the course of this trial or any other trial that comes against us. Understand this morning that trials come in many different shapes and sizes. Trials are not just about persecution. Yes, persecution is part of the trial we may suffer or deal with, but there are many other types of trials as well. For example, the isolation that has existed over these past 31 weeks. The idea of being alone, that has become a major trial for a lot of people. For others, it's been the fear of what might happen. It has overwhelmed them, almost crippled them in some cases. You know, while some fellow believers, honestly, just want to dismiss all the emotion that's entangled with these events that we're in today, that idea, their judgment of others, becomes a trial in and of itself. just dismiss people's thoughts and feelings. What we need to zero in on, though, is not necessarily the trial itself, but what results of pressing through the trial, what that can mean for each of us. As we seek the Lord for help, strength comes our way. Strength to overcome the trial that is plaguing us, whatever it is. As we continue to seek the Lord, we deepen our walk with Him. We are built up. We are strengthened. We learn to depend on Him more and more and more. The scripture we just read from James tells us that as our faith develops, we learn to persevere through trials, or maybe through the valley, as some of us like to think about. That perseverance, that growth, that helps us as we mature in Christ. It all starts out with trials. It all starts out with things we don't enjoy. Growing, maturing, building, becoming a more defined and well-toned child of God. And I describe it that way because as I was thinking about this, I had this vision in my mind of a bodybuilder. Someone like Dwayne Johnson, or you might know him as The Rock. You know, he was not always the well-toned man we see on the screen today. He was not. It took him time, years in fact, for him to build up the muscle, the tone, the features, consistent hard workouts, willingness to press through the pain, and dedication to discipline. All of that paid off and he matured into that stronger, more defined person than he was previously. What once was a challenge for him was no longer a challenge. This is a vision, a glimpse of what it might be like for us spiritually. If we are consistent in our prayer life, if we learn to press past the temptations that the enemy throws against us, if we learn to be disciplined in the Word of God, we will find that the things that once tempted us are now much more easily overcome as well. If the restrictions of COVID or the uncertainty of tomorrow are crippling us, then we need to ask God to help us build up our faith through the adversity. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying you don't have enough faith. We're not talking about a faith movement concept here. We're talking about maturing in Christ and allowing that faith to build up and grow within us. And not shrinking back. Giving up because of the pain, giving up because of a feeling of hopelessness is not the right answer. Redirecting our focus to the results that the trial can bring to us, that is where our mind needs to be. Those results need to drive us, to press us through the experience so that we can get to that point of pure joy. Another fact that we know as believers is that our trials are truly not against flesh and blood. So for that, we are to prepare for our trials. How? Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may stand your ground. And after you have done everything, stand. Look at the lessons we can learn from just this short section of text. Being strong. How? In the Lord. Not in our own power, not in our own might or our own thoughts, but in the Lord. Put on the full armor. That can only be done as we begin to mature, like James told us to do. Put on that full armor. We are reminded that our struggle is not an earthly struggle. Truly, what happens here as we walk this earth really doesn't matter. The battle that absolutely must be won is the spiritual battle, the one that determines our eternity. Compare that to an earthly fight. I don't think we can. The earthly battle really doesn't mean a thing compared to our eternal battle. By the way, did you notice the scripture said when the day of evil comes? It's a fact. It's a reality that we cannot ignore. Our days, this world's days, they are finite, not infinite. We like to think that humanity and the world is going to last forever and ever. That's not the case, according to Scripture. Our world has a time limit. The day of evil, the day of judgment is coming. Are we ready for it? Have we spent our time working out, building up our spiritual muscle, the strength that we need? Have we toned ourselves so that we can stand and be ready when that evil comes at us? COVID-19 has been a horrific event. None of us have enjoyed it in any way. None of us want to go through this pandemic or any other pandemic ever again. But if we're truly honest, we have to understand that this is nothing compared to the judgment that is yet to come because of mankind's sin. We live in a sin-sick world. Things like these viruses, weather-related disasters, all these things occur because sin entered this world. We don't like them. We don't have fun going through them. We wish they didn't exist. But no matter how much we detest them, they are part of the plague that sin unleashed on this earth. We have two options. We can fall prey to them, or we can trust our Savior and battle through them. Of course, knowing that the real battle is not against the flesh and blood, but the spiritual forces that try to drag us down as we go through these times. We may never see another pandemic like COVID for as long as we live. I hope we never see another pandemic like COVID. But there will still certainly be other battles that we will have to face. Battles that will come against each of us individually or as a whole. They will have different names to them. They won't bear the same name as COVID. But they will try to destroy our hope. They will try to destroy our faith. They will try to knock us down when we want to stand. With the Lord's help, we will remain steadfast and we will fight to the end. Amen. We will be battle ready. And when that next fiery dart comes at us, we'll be ready. stand up against it with our shield held high, extinguishing that dart before it does any damage. One question every believer should ask themselves, one question that should help us press through whatever difficulty we might face in life: what happens if I give up? What happens if I give up? One scripture in particular comes to mind, and honestly, it brings holy fear to me every time I read it. Matthew 24, verse 12. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Jesus spoke those words. No man, Jesus, spoke those words. And he did it when he was talking about the end of the age. His words declared a warning for all who read them. Wickedness will increase. Believers who are to be defined as love will stop loving, and they will grow cold. They will stop standing, and they will fall to the side. Just like we read in Ephesians about that armor, we have to stand firm to the end. And standing firm to the end brings with it that reward of salvation. So what happens if I give up? What happens if I stop moving forward? If I choose not to stand any longer? It means I choose not to finish the race that I've already started. Paul gives us a little description of this in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 9, starting at verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Can you imagine? I'm not a runner. I don't run. You can tell. I'm not a runner. But think about it for just a minute. Could you imagine running like a 27-mile marathon? Getting 10 feet away from that finish line and being disqualified from the race? Think about that for a minute. All that time, all that training, all that running, and 10 feet away, you're disqualified. You know, we're not saved to live one day well. We're not saved to live most days well. When we are saved to live all days well, right to the very end of our race. Giving up, stopping that run, giving in to that wickedness around us, that disqualifies us for the prize. COVID-19 has done an incredible job of throwing hurdles into our path. But to stop running because a hurdle has been placed in front of us means we will not finish the race. We have to get up. We have to keep moving forward. We have to reach the finish line to receive that prize that awaits us. One more thing for us to think about this morning. In all of this, what is our attitude like? Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say it, rejoice. Just a little bit further down that same chapter, Philippians 4:8, we read this. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Most of us associate that with a call to refrain from evil, which is correct. However, there's more to it. It's a command to think about, to dwell upon that which is good and positive. COVID-19 has brought with it great destruction, sickness, loss, death. It's brought with it horrific things. Part of it has caused us to even turn on each other in some respects. Look around you. Look at how people react to other people. Look at how people treat a simple thing like the mask. It has caused us to turn on others. If we're going to dwell on the negative issues that this virus has caused, then we are going to fall apart. As people, as a nation, even as believers, we're going to fall apart if all we do is dwell on the negative. The overview of the pandemic is bad, but we can draw good from it, and that is what we're supposed to dwell on. The extra time with our family and friends, the hunger for the Word of God, and the extra time we have to read and to pray. How about expanded avenues of outreach? We've learned to spread the gospel in ways differently than we ever have before, all because we were forced to do it. The gospel has gone out in more ways than we can imagine. Dwell on, think about those things, because they will have an impact on our hearts and our minds. They will give us the strength that we need. They will give us the energy to keep running the race, to get past the hurdles that are tossed in front of us, and to stand firm to the end. When we learn to fill our hearts and minds with the positive parts of the trials, it's there that we will find that pure joy that James told us about. COVID-19 has changed the way we see and do things these past 31 weeks, but it has not changed our God. It has not changed who He is. It's not changed any of His instructions to us. It's not changed His Word in any way, shape, or form.
Amen. Amen.
If anything, it has given us a closer walk with Him. No matter how this crisis has affected us to this point today, we can still choose to learn a different lesson through the rest of this battle. We can choose to change the end result in our own minds. We can dig our feet in and stand firm in the midst of the trial. What will your choice be this morning? Will you stop running? You know, all of this, everything here, doesn't mean a thing if we don't put it into action. Will you stop running? Will you continue to look at all the negative that has come from all of this? Will you give up your joy and let your love grow cold? Or will you make a decision today to fight? To fight the wickedness, to fight the evil in the heavenly realms, to put on that full armor of God and stand firm to the end. Through COVID or anything else that this sin-sick world goes through. James chapter 1, verse 4. Perseverance must finish its work so that we can be mature and complete. No matter what our future holds, let us persevere to completeness. Father, I come before you this morning. Lord, there is no way any of us can get through this without you. Lord, we are weak, we are frail, we have more shortcomings than we even know how to list. But God, you are there for us. Not some distant, way off, unreachable God, you are here in the midst of things, standing with us. God, I pray that you would give us strength today. I pray that you would renew us today. I pray that victory would be new and afresh, that the taste of victory would come alive in our hearts this morning. God, I pray that no matter what this pandemic has dealt us, I pray that we would start over today. That we would trust in that renewed hope we have in Jesus Christ. That we would trust in the strength that you give us to walk through every day. That we would trust in the wisdom and discernment you give us to make wise choices in every step that we take. God, help us to become the men and women that you want us to be. Lord, I pray for you as I pray again today. Raise up an army in this place, Father God. An army that wants to march forward in your name to worship you. To spread your truth, to be victorious to the end of the age. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you.
You are. never